Pred Film Radio, Biograph Film Festival, Bologna, Italy.
Pred Film Radio, I'm Antonio back from the Biograph Film Festival, and I'm here with Philip Cox and Giovanna Stopponi, who presented today their film Love Hotel. Hello Giovanna, can you tell us what inspired you to make this film from a production point of view?
So it's an idea, original idea by Phil. He wanted to find, our films, an opportunity, a place or a situation to explore and to explore personal stories with universal themes. So, for example, the last feature film we did, The Bengali Detective, the catalyst place was the office of a private detective in India. It was a place where people would come and tell their secrets, and we explore that side. And with the Love Hotel, this is the same what happens. It's a place which has an amazing physical space, which is the fantasy element, the escapism element, where you can bring in people, or you can in fact encounter people that come naturally, and they reveal their fantasies and their secrets and their lives. And so that is the idea that came with the film. From the production point of view, the big obstacle was the the ideas, the access. You know, why would these people allow strangers in their bedroom for hours on end, filming them making love or arguing or laughing or whatever they want to do? So everybody was like, absolutely, you cannot do this, especially in Japan, because of the individual, the society, that we think they are not communicative and open like in Western society. However, when Phil and Hikaru access to this world, they found that there was an incredible response to the idea, because everybody in Japan uses Love Hotel, but nobody talks about it. It's like a taboo. Everybody's curious to know what's going on behind walls. The users themselves don't know what you and us do. So they and wanted to tell the story for different reasons. Every one of them, each of them, had a reason to participate in the film for their own personal reasons. So they wanted to tell the story.
And Philip, as a director, what motivated you the most?
I think there's a few reasons. First of all, people said it couldn't be done, so that's always a reason to start pushing further. It means there's something interesting. Second, for a filmmaker to have one space where everybody comes, rich, poor, old and young, all together, I realize I have in one space a window to many different lives, stories and people. I don't have to travel, it's all in this one space. So cinematically, that's exciting. I can make this space cinematic. And to feel that I have parallel lives within 2 meters of each other, I have an old person and a young couple. In my head, I can almost see it like a I can see it very quickly, the film. And then also the space, I realize the film will only work if I have depth. Otherwise it will be superficial, exotic, sexy Japanese people. So I realize it's a big challenge to access what people would say is the most conformist society in the world. So I like challenges. But also I think we can make something tender, sincere, and the film works when it doesn't become Japanese anymore. When it's relevant to Italians, when it's relevant to French, German, British, because it's about the constraints of conformity of sexuality, of what we're allowed to talk about, and the freedom of Love Hotel. So Love Hotel suddenly becomes a mental space, not a physical bordello. And that's what's interesting, that I realize there's many layers to the film which I have to make the audience reach. Otherwise the film becomes a reportage. But if I can reach the layers, it becomes more, it becomes a cinematic piece where I'm watching people, not Japanese people.
And I know that the co-director is Japanese and she's a woman. And so I was wondering, did her approach help you making this film?
So we work very, very closely. So there's only two people making the film in Japan, Hikaru and myself. So there's no sound crew, no camera. So we have just two small cameras. And of course, I don't speak Japanese. So Hikaru is very much the bridge to the subjects. And we have to work very closely in the relationship with them. We become friends, we spend dinners, disco, party, times with our subjects, you know, just sometimes not filming a long time. So Hikaru is very, very important for that access to the subjects, but also the subjects like that I'm a foreigner, and that they won't feel judged by their fellow Japanese. If the director had been Japanese, it would have been a problem for them as well. The fact that I was English meant that they weren't feeling judged by their own society when they spoke to me. So the combination of the Japanese female co-director and the English director, I think, was good. And a very small team. So also the way, you know, there's some questions last night, people are like, are they actors? It's because the film feels very, almost too good, like the lighting and the cutting, like how? But that's fine with me, because how we do is always two cameras shooting, so you can always cut. And every room is lit, like a cinema room, beautiful pinks, reds, because that's the fantasy room. Naturally, of the Love Hotel. So the film has a very strong look, and people like my last film will often question, is it real? How do they do this? But I don't mind that. And by the end, you should have forgotten this and feel for the people. But I know you raised these questions as an audience at the beginning.
Now we'll take a short break and we will be right back with Giovanna Stopponi and Philip Cox on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Fred Film Radio, we are here with Philip Cox and Giovanna Stopponi. Now, a lot has changed in Japan since you were shooting the film. And have Lava Hotels changed as well, and how?
So the film was shot over 2012-2013. So Japan is changing quite radically. We have a right-wing conservative government now that's been there for quite a while. And at the top end, things like the pacifist constitution is changing. Japan is militarizing. Nationalism is growing. So these are top issues which we don't deal with so much in the film. We deal with how these things affect people's lives, which are the small level, which is about government control in the everyday, in whether you can dance after midnight, and whether what you're allowed in your hotel. You can't have mirrors of a certain size. So for us, it was about the control the government are exercising in the everyday lives of people. While at the top end, it's actually very serious, which is not really part of the film, but these changes which are happening in control over people's lives, how we love, how we want to express ourselves, how we, the things that make us human, when control comes over those things, you know, you have a very worrying state of affairs. You have, whether that becomes fascism or whatever. So socially and politically, the film took place at a critical moment in Japan's society. And Love Hotel is linked into that political change quite subtly. And Love Hotels are now being forced to change to become more like business hotels, so more standardized. But people are hoping that, you know, it will change back, but it doesn't look like it at the moment.
You seem to have a fondness for what people are not willing to tell openly. Is that going to be a common theme for your next project as well?
I think that the last two films, for example, the film in India, The Bengali Detective, I mean, I needed to access a middle-class society, so I was looking for the place where that would be possible. In Love Hotel, the film could only work if I could really access into the, you know, get people to reveal themselves. Because the film doesn't really have a story. It's the power of the film is the revelations, the little subtle revelations. They're not, I killed my grandmother, no. They're little exchanges of you know, personal desire and worry. So that's why this film works. It doesn't have a big, exciting story. No, it's very emotionally tiring for the filmmaker to make these types of films, because you must spend real time with the subjects. You know, it's really trust, and it's very precarious. At any moment, they can leave and you can walk. So the next film is very different. We work in America. It's more a biopic of Miles Davis's wife. It's a different type of film that we're doing next with actors. We're stepping away. It's called the next film was it's called Nasty Girl: The Life and Times of Bette Davis. So my next film is different. But with any film I do, you have to. It's all about making the audience be moved. And all my films are done outside Britain, and they're dealing with foreign cultures, and the danger is you make them exotic, or we watch, where my job is to make you participate. Or you take something like The Homosexual Lawyers yesterday. You know, some of the audience were like, oh, that was, you know, very strong, oh, you know, maybe. But my job is that you can't help but laugh with them or be moved by them. So if you have some prejudice, by the end, you're seeing them as people. So that's my job as the filmmaker. Yeah.
Why did you choose Japan for this film and instead of other countries or Europe?
So this is, yeah, why in Japan? It's some. It's because Japan historically has been an isolationist country. So the British, the Columbus, you know, the Catholic Church, I mean, people, they didn't get to Japan. Japan doesn't want foreigners, didn't open up its trade. It really has been an isolationist country in a proactive sense forever. So the impact of religion, of Western thought, ideology, civilization has not had an impact in Japan until very recently, which connects to sex and sensuality, which in Japan there's an absence of the one thing that's very strong here, maybe in Italy too, which is guilt. So spaces where sensuality or sex or intimacy can happen, in our countries, those spaces might be looked on as possible places of sin or corruption, perversion or naughtiness. In Japan, there's a complete absence of shame, complete absence. So for 600-700 years, a space has existed in Japanese society which started in tea houses between samurai, geisha, merchants, geisha, where people had the opportunity to meet anonymous, private, and to let things out. So that never happened in Western civilization with the advent of, you know, our beautiful religions and things. So culturally, that still exists today, that mentality in Japan, where there's nothing shameful about it. And sex and sensuality has, people have a different relationship to it than Western people. It took me a long time as a British filmmaker to understand why people would laugh or be embarrassed, but there wasn't shame. And I realized I couldn't do this in France, Italy or Britain. And then I realized the historical angle is very important about why Japanese love hotels are different and why they're important and why the conversation is relevant to us as well. Because it's very simple, it's simply, they have a space to let it out, and that space is not illegal. In fact, it's normal. We don't have a space to let it out. If we let it out, maybe someone arrests us. And they talk very like, they talk to me like, yeah, but we all need to let it out. Like, we've all got, we're human. Like, every human being has weird stuff and, you know, like, just let it, you've got to have somewhere to let it out or it will come out somewhere bad. And I'm, you're like, well, yes, okay, yeah, you make sense. So in a way, they're more progressive in that sense. La Fortale as a mental space is very progressive. So that was interesting. Of course, it's not a utopia, there's some prostitution, of course, but as a principle, it's an interesting thing.
Thank you, Philip Cox and Giovanna Stopponi, for taking the time. This was Antonio Beck for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.